And I couldn't find one of these mole traps. I knowed I put it there overnight. Old Bert come along there. He said, "Hello, friend." I said, "Oh, Bert." I said, "He said, what are you looking about for?" I said, "I put a mole trap up here," I said, "and I can't find it." And he said, "Where'd you put it?" I said, "Just here somewhere." So I said, "In a run. It runs all over the place." And him and me looked all around this mole trap, and we couldn't find it, you know. And I went down, Father went down to George that night, and he says, "Did you lose a mole trap this morning?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, Bert Gross just sold it to a chap down the pub for a point." He found it. He said he picked up a pot in his pocket. That's the sort of chap he was. But I liked him. He was a very likable man. He was a bit 4 years older than I was, I think. Too fly for me, wasn't he?
Too
fly for me, wasn't he?
Exactly.
He found a mold rat and he picked it up and popped it in his pocket.
He wasn't much older than you?
About 4 years.
Mm. Mm. How old was he when he was doing all this?
Huh?
When is it we're talking about with the mole trap? When would that be?
Well, that would be when I was 18.
Who was the firm? How did you find out about it?
Huh?
How did you find out about this firm that bought mole skin?
Advertised. They used to advertise for them. They used to make mole skin dresses, didn't they? Or coats for women.
Could you get rid of rabbit pelts like that?
No, you could get a penny for a rabbit skin. And then the old gypsies used to come around and collect them. I don't know what they'd done with them. If it wasn't shot, if it was a shot, you only got eightpenny. If it was snared, you get a penny. You tell by the skin, you look inside, see the shot mark in it, you see. And you were used to get 15 shillings for a fox skin. I'd place a fox in here where you set snares up for ears, you know. Proper make them, what you used to make them. And I went on one morning with a fox in this wire. I went to him, I tap him on the head and take him home and skin him, see. When I went up to him, he flew at me. Oh, I said, "That's how you feel?" I said, "We'll both argue about that." So I stepped back a bit and shot him. I got my gun. I always carried a gun. So I messed the skin up. It wasn't no good then. So I was close to him, so he blowed a great hole in it. Case a deer in a snare, one day I went in there, as I told you about. I always trained gun dogs. And I got a beautiful Labrador dog with me. All of a sudden he stopped short. His bristles went up and he growled. I heard some crashing. You know, and then I got an old deer in a snare, and his arms were caught in a snare, and his head was fixed right back to his neck, you see. And I said, "Well, didn't want shooting." I said, "Well, I don't." So I got my knife out, and he stood and looked at the old dog. And I rushed in at him and catched out one front leg and one back leg and snatched him up on his back and down on him, cut me knife, grabbed me knife, cut his head off. And my father, he did give me a dressing down. I didn't want white scars on him, was it? He was tied up. He said if he'd have cut you with his claw, he said he'd have ripped your guts out. He'd had your inside out, he said. I didn't know that. What should they do? They strike. And they were so sharp, their claws are out, you see, they ripped your inside out. I got away with that, didn't I?
What did you do with it?
Sold that to the butcher. That wasn't no trouble. Father come fetch him in the cart, and we took him down to the butcher, and he dressed him. We think he'd give me about 15 bob or a pound for it.
Wasn't that poaching, then?
Huh?
Was that poaching?
No, that wasn't poaching. Because we were allowed to get them on your own land, you see. No, but not allowed to go in the water, sure. Still, it wouldn't matter if it was. The old keeper wouldn't say none for air.
Can you tell me anything about your mother's shop and post office?
Well, we took the this shop off a man named George Fryer when he went bankrupt. That was down in the corner, down the corner of the village. It's a nice house now they made of it. And he went bankrupt. And mother, she started the shop up herself and applied for the post office and got it. Now that was the art of the job at the post, because I think they paid her £1 a week. See? That was a lot of money in them days. But of course there was a lot of writing. It all had to be, you had to be there in the postman court 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock at night. And then we had to distribute the, mother had to go around the, take the letters out, mind you, around the village.
She did that?
No, my sister done it. I think she was allowed 5 shillings a week to do that. Sister.
Did you ever have to help in the shop? Did you ever help in the shop?
No, only me. She said, I want my out. She said, you eat more sweets than what you profit. And father, he was going to get his back right at the shop, and he didn't pay for it. But I always paid for my cigarettes. I used to smoke. Funny thing, I had a chap I got in the cigarette case that was given to me when I was first started smoking cigarettes when I was 16. Silver cigarette case. My sisters clubbed together and bought it for me. I got my name and address printed inside, and it went away last week. A friend of mine see a antique bloke see it. He says, I'd like my dad to see that, he says, and he took it away with him. I'd have showed it to you. Got my name and address, post office and all inside. I don't know what it's worth. Solid silver, it weighed 4 ounces. What's it worth?
Fair bit.
About 8 quid. Mm-hmm. £2 an ounce, isn't it? And what it's worth would be an antique, God only knows.
How did you get hold of it again?
My sister gave it to me when I was 16. Oh, okay. I started smoking cigarettes. Pliers were a penny a packet for 5. Woodbine were a penny a packet for 5. Pliers got every 5 cigarettes and 5 holders stuck in one of them, like funnels. So you stick your cigarette in the funnel and smoke it, you see. And they were the penny. And then what are they today? I don't ever smoke them, do you? I don't like them, but I always made my cigarettes. Always made my own fags. I smoked a pipe for a long time. Still smoke a pipe now. But once a month. Somebody comes along with a tobacco, old pipe hangs in front of it, indoors, in the holder, and if anybody comes along, got a bit better, I'd all have pipe back there. Sometimes I'll put a cigar in, you know, I always smoke cigars, you see. Latter part time, last 5 years. Them small cigars. And if I get a big one, or you put the end in the pipe. I love a cigar. Well, I had a standing order shop here for them. Used to have 4 packets a week. Well, I don't know. I can't cough too much. Well, a doctor told me, thank you. It ain't no good to you. Well, I left off just like that, you know. Didn't make no fuss. Someone may have a fuss leaving off. Can leave off if maybe you can, you know, make your mind up, can you?
I don't know, I've never smoked.
You never smoked? Oh, I think it's a mug's game. Although I always smoked. I started smoking when I was at school. Bought a packet of Woodbines, 2 hours. Put a penny together, 8 each. And went, got out of sight and had a smoke. Didn't dare let go of this sales.
Did you ever get in trouble for smoking?
No, no. No, my father was a heavy smoker. He always smoked a pipe. No, he never made no fuss at all. Not when I had started, when I was young, like when I was 14 or 15, I was smoking cigarettes.
Did many women smoke in those days?
No, never see a woman smoke, only in the up garden. See the old London women come down from the up gardens. Here's the thing. Every farm in this East Kent, of about 100 acres, had got a bit of hops. You know, And they used, the old women used to come down from London, and living off ruts, as we used to call them, pick these ops. And when we were boys, when we were only very small, we had to go away with mother op picking. And we had a basket, and if we picked that basket, then we'd go fly. We had to pick a basket each, per bushel. Well, we had three of us, and we used to have to fill this bushel basket. I think you used to have 7 pence a bushel picking ops. That was, this field in front here with all ops. I can remember that.
You used to go as a family, did you, when you were...
Hmm?
You all used to go as a family when you were young?
Yeah, there was me and mother used to take a bin, what they called a bin. And you, they latch you so big a quantity of children you got. They let you see, and if you were a bigger family, they had a bigger piece. And as soon as you got your old basket full of that old five bushel, they come round and chuck this five bushel in a bag. Took it away, and they give you a chit, a piece of paper, say we've took one away, see, two. My mother used to, we used to fill about three a day. Well, that was 15 bob a week, you know. 5 days a week, sad as we didn't go. And they used to fetch them and take them down to the brewery. We have sold, father did sell the brewery's barley once. He growed a bit of barley. My father could mow, you know. 6 shillings an acre he had for mowing. He took 6 acres of barley to mow and he put 6 shillings an acre. That was before he went to mow it, when we were down the other place. When we were down at the old first cottage. That was the price, mowing barley. 6 shillings an acre. And he could mow an acre a day. Then we had to take it out. Used to mow it into the corn, see? That used to stand up again the corn. Then you used to go along with your foot like that, take armful, lay it in a bond. He used to twist them with a straw as he went back with his scythe, lay them down. Mother used to take them out and lay them in the bond and bind them. And then his boys used to stand them up.
Lay them in the barn?
In the bond.
Bond.
And because we were doing it for a neighbour, he'd done it for a neighbour. He did grow a little bit of barley up there, and then he didn't reck much of it. Brewer, we always had a barrel of beer in the house. Always had a 9 gallon barrel of beer in the house, always. My father did. And the old dealer boys come along and give him a drop of beer. Those old boys would drink beer too. I got booze one day when I was, me and my brother, we got as drunk as pigs. We got in the kitchen window and father and mother was out and we tried some wine and we emptied the bottle. And when they come home, we were both drunk. And damn good hiding we got too. So that didn't do much good, did it? Yeah, they ain't taking that all down, is it?
Yeah, go along.
Good God.
Did women often have to work on the land? Did lots of women work on the
field? No. Women didn't, only in season of warlike. Hop picking, cherry picking, apple picking, they used to go. Don't think the women used to go on the land much. Stone picking, they used to go. Picking stones up for making the roads. They used to pay shilling a yard. My father paid shilling a yard. My wife picked the stones. How was that? She knowed what it is to work. She went pulling sugar beet in the war. That's what gave her hands, arthritis in her hands. In the last war.
When? Did your mother used to work on the land even when she got the post office? You know, when you said
no,
you
she bike, just, she helped mum. She helped my mother, see. She was going indoors and helped my mother. Because we lived next door, see. They lived in the, two cottages were made into the farmhouse. Well, we went there. And then the cottage we let to old Vidian, as I told you, 2 shillings a week. And when I got married, he moved, and I went in the cottage, and I lived in there until I went to Throwley.
When was it you went to Throwley?
1926, when the general strike was on. And that was a rough house. I'd got about £100 in the bank when I went there. I'd got about £200 worth of stock, you know, horses and that. And the first year I lost the £100, I ain't got nothing. The next year I just hadn't got nothing. And the next year, I was nearly broke. That first 3 years. And I went to the bank and told him that I was afraid to write a check. He said, you carry on. He said, write your checks. He says, as you always have done. That was in 1926, mind you. He says, you don't worry about anything else. He says, you were doing all right. He was a good manager. He knew me. He'd been up to see me. He's in the farm. He knew all he... Well, they farmed the bank managers them days in the agricultural. Knew as much about a farmer as the farmer did pretty well. He'd been up and seen how I'd do him a job, see. And